Welcome to the Mary Mack Show, where we will be talking about your feelings, experiences, and pain following the death of a loved one. Mary Mack from the Mary Mack Show. Hello, my warriors. I am so grateful to be with a wonderful woman today who lives in Oklahoma. And this is a first for us because we've never had a sibling who has spoken to us about a fentanyl death of their sister or brother. And I invite you now to welcome Crystal Crane Mariquin, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Great job.
I wanted to make sure I got it correct.
You did. You did a great job.
We're going to be speaking today about her brother, Dwayne Morris. And she's younger than Dwayne. And he did have an addiction. But we're going to talk about how he died mysteriously because he had too many different types of drugs in his system when he died, which would not have been practical or usual. So Crystal lives in Oklahoma. She is the daughter of Faye, correct? Mm-hmm. And Faye is also both of their mom. And also Dwayne had two boys, Brody and Bo. Brody is now 23 and Bo is 18. And we're going to start our conversation to talk about what their young years were like, where they grew up, how their household was. And I thank you very much, Crystal, for being with me today.
All right. Well, we grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We moved to Oklahoma when I was 11, so he would have been 12, 13, 14, 15. I was in sixth grade, and I think he was in freshman.
Okay.
Growing up in Louisiana was fun. We had a single mother who raised us, did an amazing job with us, and the best thing she ever did was move us up to Oklahoma. We really like it here. Right. But when we were little, we used to ride our bikes. A really good big brother when we were little. He was a typical big brother. We spent a lot of time together. He played football. He played baseball. I was always a little cheerleader when he played football. They had like, you know, the summer leagues. I was like, yeah, like at the YMCA. So here I am in my cheer suit and he's in his football. Mom would take us to the field. We go to the ball games, go to McDonald's or Pizza Hut after. I didn't like Taco Bell, so we just skip that. Get Taco Bell and go to McDonald's and get me McDonald's. He thought I was a spoiled brat. We moved to Oklahoma in 91. And my brother had a car wreck in 1996.
How old was he then?
I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. 21. And he was hurt really bad. He was in ICU for about a week or two. And that's when his opioids, the doctor prescribed him opioids. And that's when it all started. Before then, he just smoked marijuana. And I thought that was the worst thing ever.
Sure. I've heard a lot of stories about doctors who, you know, just push the pills. They don't really know the magnitude of what they're doing because when they get to the point where the doctor wants to stop the prescription, there's no safe withdrawal program for the patient.
Yeah. And then from there, he would do great sometimes, and then he'd go back. And then he spiraled around in meth. He did meth, but he could always stop that. Just the pills were a problem. Then he would do really good. He got married. They did great, and they had a little boy, Brody, and that's when Brody, and then he still did good. And then later, a couple years later, he had Bo. Bo lives in Louisiana. Brody lives here in Oklahoma. And then he married again, and she was great too. And he did really good again. He just always went back. It just pulled him. Something just pulled him to it. And he'd always tell me he didn't have a problem. He could stop anytime he wanted to. They're my prescriptions. The doctor gave them to me. They're not bad.
But at that point, was he starting to use from the street?
Sometimes, or he would blame someone taking his medicine, or yeah. Was he because he took them? He thought someone else took him, but he's the one that took him. Yeah.
How
And
was
then
your
he did
relationship with
meth.
him? I'm sorry.
Huh? Go ahead.
How was your relationship with him when he was doing drugs?
We didn't see him much. When he was clean, he'd come over and hang out with my kids, but when he wasn't clean, I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want my kids to see him like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
That must have been really hard.
It was very hard. Especially when you see him and he just looks so out of it. I'd see him in like the Dollar General and I'd talk to him, he'd be behind him, and then after he paid, I would just cry because he just looked so bad. Then there was times he looked really, really good.
What a
But
roller
there,
coaster.
roller coaster, yeah. And then I looked at it as a choice. He chose to do it. But I've learned so much since August 31st of this year, of 2023. That addiction is a disease. And I've learned so much about fentanyl. I didn't even know it existed. I only knew like the medical did. I didn't realize there was a synthetic that people are making in their basements and selling it. And a little bitty tiny piece can just take you out.
Just a few granules.
Yeah. Like you can share it with someone else and they'll be just fine and you won't.
Yes. We were I was talking to Rebecca from the same group as you, which by the
Yes, I
way is
haven't got to
called
meet her yet. I've only talked to her on Facebook. She sounds so amazing.
She's a wonderful person. And
Yeah.
you're both in the group called Families Supporting Fentanyl in This Drug Crisis in Oklahoma. And I will leave the Facebook page in the show notes for you to go
Yeah.
and look at. But we did an episode about a month or so ago. And one of the things she definitely described was the what she calls the chocolate chip cookie effect.
Yes.
And you can have a pill. And maybe you split it in half thinking that you're not doing as much. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, the part of the pill that you take kills you. And the
Yeah.
part of the pill that your friend takes doesn't kill him. And nobody can really understand why, but we've learned that because these are being manufactured in pill mills down in Mexico and brought up through the border. We've learned that there's no rhyme or reason, there's no quality control,
Yeah.
and that's why this kind of thing does happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you just, I don't even know how to explain it. When I picked him up from jail, he had spent 113 in jails in Kiowa, days in Kiowa County here in our town, and he said he was done. It's like you're done. He's like, yeah, I'm finished. I'm done. I don't want to live that lifestyle anymore. And then 13 days later, he was gone forever.
And you
My
believe
mom seen him
him.
that day at 2:45 and he was fine. They had plans to go get a car. They were going to go on Saturday and get a car. His first drug test for his parole officer would have been on that Tuesday after Memorial Day. So he had so much stuff coming for him just to do that, knowing that what would have happened if he tested dirty. He'd have went straight to prison because he was on parole. He had 10 years parole. Yeah. But he could light up a room. Yeah, he could light up a room. Jokes and stories. Oh, he would tell stories. I'm like, I don't remember it happened. Like, yeah, when we were kids, that's how it happened. I'm like, I don't remember. Yes, that's how. Okay, that's how it happened. But yeah, he always had his spin on it. I'm like, that's not how it happened. He's like, yeah, he has to tell him that's how it happened. Okay, yeah, that's how it happened.
You just had
Yeah.
to leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Yeah, because he had stories. And we
Oh.
always said he had Peter Pan syndrome. He didn't want to grow up.
Oh, yeah, that's
Yeah.
true. There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. Like I moved out before he did.
Oh, really?
And he always came back home to my mom, always to my mama's house. he got upset or didn't have a place to go, my mom always took him in.
That was a safe space.
Yeah, with his mama.
So when he passed, where were you? How did you find out?
I was at home. I was getting ready to go to bed. I got in bed and I happened to look at my phone and I had a text message from my friend who was his neighbor, and she said, "There's an ambulance at your brother's house." And I was like, "That's odd." So I got dressed and I called my son on my way there, and we live in a really small town. I called my son and said, "I'm gonna go check on Uncle Bubba. There's an ambulance there. Don't tell me, Ma, until I find out what's wrong." So again, and I flew there, and when I got there was a guy out there telling me that he'd been working on him for 30 minutes. I'm like, "What happened? What did he take?" "Oh, I don't know." So I beat the cops there. So I was able to get into the house. And when I got into the house, EMT was working on him. They told me to get out. I was like, "Let me help you." I said, "I can help you. Do I need to help you do something? Do I need to change? I can do compression. Just let me help." They're like, "No, you just have to get out." So I went out in the front yard and I just wailed. And my mom lives like 2 blocks and he heard it. So he came down there and I was like, "Just go get me, Ma. Go get me, Ma." He's like, "What's the matter?" I said, "He's gone." He's like, "How do you know?" I said, "Because I know he's gone. Just go get me, Ma." So my son went and got my mom and we woke her up, and to this day she don't remember it. When I tell her about it, she's like, "I don't remember it," which is good. She's blocked it out.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
The
And
doctors
then,
call that selective amnesia.
yeah, that
And
was at 9, and I had called my husband. My husband was there by 9:03. And a little while later, the EMT's coming out, and my friend was there, and she's like, "You know what's about to happen, don't you?" And back here in the back of my mind, I was like, "He's fixing to go to prison. He's gonna test dirty on Tuesday, and he's gonna go to prison." But I knew that he was gone. So when the EMT came out, and he's like, "I did everything that I could," and that's the time that the yellow caution tape went up, and we had to wait for Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation to come. And of course, Drug Task Force was there because it was a drug death. At that time, we didn't know for sure what happened. Then we got his, they did a medical investigation on his body from head to toe. And then that's when we found out that what he had in his system, which was the 20 nanograms of fentanyl, and that's 2 is fatal, and he had 20. And then 7 different benzos, which is like the Xanax or diazepam, and he was an addict, but he was a smart addict, which is crazy to say. Was just a lost soul, and he's not lost anymore. And I know he's in a better place. I just still had so much more to say. We missed a lot of years of each other's lives. But when he was good, he was so good. He was so good. My 21-year-old played softball in her high school years, and he'd always say, "Torina, I taught you everything that you know. I taught you everything that you know." She's like, "Yeah, Uncle Bubba." They called him Uncle Bubba. "Yeah, Uncle Bubba, you taught us everything that I know. Everything that I know, you taught me." "I did. I did." Yeah. We used to go play like at the softball field on the weekends. We'd go play when he was good. When he was good, he was gold. Even when he was bad, he was good. It was just sad to see him like that sometimes. When he was really, really bad off in addiction, it was sad to see him. So I just distanced myself.
Sure.
That was my coping mechanism. And I'm like, "Yeah, it don't bother me. It don't bother me." But deep down, it killed me. But I held it in. And then I picked him up from jail the day he got out. And he's like, "Crystal, I have been seeing this strawberry shake from Sonic on this commercial. Can we please go get it?" So we went straight down to Sonic and I got him a shake. And he was like a kid on Christmas morning drinking that shake. It was so good. I said, "Man, this is so good. This is so good." And I spent the whole day with him. My boss let me have the day off, and I spent the whole day with him that he got out. It's like old times. He got to meet my granddaughter. I have a great 2 granddaughters and a grandson, but he got to meet my 2 youngest ones. He just couldn't believe that I was a grandma. He's like, "You're a grandma." I was like, "I know." Then over the summer, me and my daughter got matching tattoos. So when I picked him up, "You got another tattoo?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got it this summer with my daughter." He's like, "Crystal?" And then he had this full white beard and no
Oh,
hair.
wow.
Yeah, when I picked him up from jail, he was so big, he was so full, he looked so good. And that's how I'm going to remember him, just looking really good.
Wow.
Yeah. Then my mom, that's what hurts.
How's she making out?
She's doing good. I know she's heartbroken. She was feels like she needs to do more. And I said, Mom, you've done everything that you could. There's nothing we could have done. He had to have won it.
Yes, he had to have wanted it. And Dr. Keith said that last week. He says, you know,
Yeah.
it's not because you sent, like, you know, a judge demands that you go to rehab or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you have to want it for yourself. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
No.
I said, Mom, and he knows you loved him and he loved you too, with all that he was. He loved his mama. That's my mama. I was like, what's my mama too? Oh, he's mad at her. You need to call your mama. I said, oh, now she's my mama. When you're mad at her, she's my mama. Well, when you're not, she's your mama. Yeah. But I call her mom and he calls her mama. So she misses being called mama. You know, she'll never hear mama again, she says. She's a mama, is a very strong woman. A very strong woman.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, you know, most parents that I should say all parents that I've interviewed or had conversations with, you
Yeah.
know, it's unnatural to lose a child.
Yes.
You're supposed
You
to
should
go
have been there
first.
early. Yes.
But even as a sibling, the thing about being a sibling is that where not enough attention is paid to you. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, it's all about the mom and what she's going through, or the dad, right?
Yeah.
But when you're trying to grieve through your loss, it doesn't seem as important to a lot of people, which I think stinks.
Well, because he's always been there. I mean, when I was born, he was there. He's always been there. I didn't have a time that he wasn't. He's always been there. And I know that if I needed to see him, I could go see him. And now I just have him on my mantle. So he's still
That's
here.
some.
I still talk to him. Yep. It's been hard.
Not even a year yet for you.
No. And for his birthday, I took off work and went and picked my mom up, and I took her out for his birthday. And then I got her a little urn, a little she likes hummingbirds, so I got her a little urn. I put his ashes in it for her. And then for Christmas, I got his thumbprint. I got his fingerprints, and I made her a necklace with his thumbprint. I try to make it special for her. I just know that she's hurting.
Without a
And
doubt.
I got him a really nice urn that we put him in.
Do you
But we
have
went
it?
to a family
You, or
reunion. We brought him
does
in.
she have it?
I have little ones. I give her the big one. We have him all over. He'd want to be like that. He'd want to be here. He'd want to be there. He always talked about going to Guatemala. My husband's Guatemalan. He's from Guatemala. So when we go, we're going to bring some there and bring him with us to Guatemala.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be
Yeah, he always wanted to go to Guatemala.
good.
Yeah, he never got to.
Well, you'll make that wish
Wish
come
me plenty.
true. You'll
Huh?
make that wish come true.
I sure will. I sure will. He was original. He was original. There's no one else like him.
That's
He used to
true.
dress me up in football pads, like, and then put pillows and like wrap pillows around me and then run and plow me over. Let's play football. I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, it won't hurt. Yes, it did. He would play Barbies with me when we were little. He said I couldn't tell nobody. He'd have his G.I. Joes for instead of Ken, but he's like, I'm not playing Barbies, I'm playing G.I. Joe. I was like, no, but you're still playing Barbies.
I used to do that with my brothers too.
Yeah.
Ken and Barbie and G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. And then we had
Yeah.
He-Man and She-Ra. I was She-Ra and he was He-Man.
Oh, okay.
That was fun too, yeah. And then like every Christmas Eve and every night before Easter, I'd sleep in his room on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah. One night I wouldn't go to sleep, so my mom went out there and jingled the bells. He's
Oh,
here, he's passing us. My brother's like, you better go to sleep so he'll come back. Yeah. But every Christmas,
funny.
yeah, every Christmas and every Easter, but night before Easter, I'd sleep in his room on the floor.
Why
And we
Easter?
had walkie-talkies too. When we went and when I was in my own room, he'd talk to each other on walkie-talkies.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's
We had
cool.
lots of fun. Yeah.
Wow.
Fun, fun. Life's just not fair.
No, it's not.
No.
I don't think that people who have never gone through this kind of sadness and pain have really any idea
They
what
don't.
happens when you have to live through this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And especially the first few years, because the shock is still around, you're still living in a bubble, and you might think that you're doing really good, but then of course the roller coaster hits, and some days are great and other days aren't so great, and there's a
Some
lot.
days you're just driving and then you just get the breath knocked out of you and it just hits.
That's right.
And then you'll see one of his friends and then they'll come up and hug you and then you're like, you just cry because,
Yeah.
yeah. Remind you of them.
Does his friends come to see you or call you? No, huh?
Not those friends, no. Like friends from his past, I'll see. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And like when he passed, hardly anyone came over because it's a stigma. No one wants to talk about it.
That's right.
Nobody wants to talk about it. We had a fall fest here in our town, and I had a booth not even a month after he passed. That's when I got my banner made. I hand out Narcan. I handed out information on the Good Sam Law. The Good Sam Law is, let's say, if me and you were using together and I overdose, you can call for help. And if we have drugs everywhere, they're not going to do anything about the drugs. They're going to save me, and we'll just get you next time.
Right. Well, that's a good law.
Yeah, it's called Good Sam, but nobody wanted to stop and talk about any of it.
So
And all my
nobody
stuff
came
was
to your
clean.
booth? Nobody came to your booth?
And like
Whoa.
people that I know needed it. Oh, I don't need that. Okay. Yeah, they would just walk past us. And I'm like, hey, you, and then I give the kids, I had stickers, little purple ribbon stickers, because
Yes.
purple is for overdose awareness. And the kids would take the stickers. The parents thought I was trying to sell. I was like, no, I'm not selling anything. It's all free. But I'm going to do it again when we have another one. I'm going to be a squeaky wheel.
For you. Good for you.
I'm trying to get a Narcan dispenser in our town. I'm just having a hard place posting it because it has to have an awning, has to have 24-hour surveillance and electricity. So
You mean like a
I'm having a
vending
hard.
machine? Like a
Yes,
vending
ma'am.
machine?
Yeah.
That's great. That'd be
Yeah.
great.
And then I go with SWOTA. I'm not for sure what SWOTA is, but they do stuff with drug and alcohol as well. And he's invited me, and I've spoken to several meetings he's done, Narcan training, and then I've told my stuff story, and he puts me where he can. It's just I'm an odd person because I'm not the addict. I'm the sister of the lost addict. So he
Right.
puts me in where he can,
That's very
which is
nice.
nice. It is. I've gone to four events and spoke.
How were you received?
Sometimes I felt like it was going on deaf ears. But then when I looked up, I could tell some people come up and hug me, and other people just look at me like you would expect, because it's never going to happen to them. We're not giving you Narcan because we think that you're bad or you know someone that's bad. We're giving you Narcan because you might be walking out of Walmart one day and there might be an overdose right there, and you can save their life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people can't see beyond themselves
Yeah.
and
So
their
now
own.
when I see like the people out like the rehab selling popcorn or selling keychains or whatever, I'm sure to go up to them and I tell them how proud I am of them. I'm so proud of their accomplishment. Let them know that they're loved. They need to hear that. They need to know that someone's proud of them.
Yeah.
Because overcoming addiction is, it's a big thing. Huge.
It is. It is.
Huge,
And
yeah.
especially if you can stay there, you know?
Yes, because a sober date's better than a tombstone date.
That's very true. That is
Yes.
very, very true.
They can make it out and be the best they can for themselves first and then their family. That's amazing because everyone's not given that opportunity.
No, that's very true. Yeah.
And addiction just, it's a disease. Like he wanted to donate his body. Him and my mom talked about it like 2 weeks, a week before. He's like, Mom, I want to donate my body when I die so they can investigate my brain to see if addiction's in there, to see if it's like hereditary, see if it's in our brain, see what it is. But the way he passed, since the ME was involved, that they couldn't use him.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
because I
And
really feel that it's
I hope,
hereditary.
I certainly hope that your case can be not only solved, but
Yeah.
justice will
To
prevail.
know what happened. Just tell us what happened.
Do they have
He may have
any?
wanted one more last hurrah. I don't know. I just feel like he's pushing me and don't give up. Sis, don't give up. Don't give
Yeah.
up.
Right. Wow.
When he went to jail, he was on Belbuca, which is, it takes the cravings away.
Okay.
So it helps you where you don't want opioids. He was trying to stop. He was on Belbuca and it takes away the cravings. When I got his refill twice for him, and then once the doctor realized what he was in for, he took him off of it. So I really feel
Oh.
too that if he was still able to take that, he wouldn't have had the cravings for it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But when he was good, he was so good. I just think about his stories. He shot me one time with his BB gun. Yeah. He was in so much trouble.
God.
It was like this. When they beat it on the stairwell, it was like this. He no longer had a BB gun. He said, "You can't shoot your sister." He thought it was funny. He didn't think it was funny after he lost his BB gun.
Where were you shot?
In my bottom?
Oh
Yeah. And we had been swimming all day, so I was wet, and it was bad. Luckily, he didn't break the skin; just left a big whelp. But he got in so much trouble. So much trouble. And we used to fight. I would instigate him. He was so mad at me one time. We were arguing. I'm like, "You're not gonna touch me." He's like, "Yeah, I am." Well, he went to swing at me while I moved, and then he broke his hand. So that made him even more mad. I
Oh
was
my
like, "I'm sorry." I was like, "Well, you should have been trying to hit me."
Oh
He
wow.
was, yeah. We fought a lot, like brother and sister do. I got a bike for my 12th birthday, and he broke it. He jumped a curb with it, bent the frame all up, bent the wheel all up. He was just a lost soul. He didn't want to deal with it, so when he would numb himself.
Yeah. And I think you said before about being Peter Pan or something, like
Yes. Yeah. You didn't ever want to grow up. Yeah.
there's a lot of
And
people
tall
like
tales.
that. There's a lot of
Yeah.
people like that. And then there are people who are late bloomers. They don't become who they're meant to be until in the 40s,
Yeah. Well, he planned on changing lives. He planned on helping people. He wanted to help people through addiction and everything. That was what he wanted to do. He wanted to help people that were addicted. Sweet. Oh, and it was funny. You remember the aliens were going on about May, June, July? The aliens. There was a big deal about the aliens.
Oh, that it was that they were coming out, like they were
Yes.
going to be
Yes.
coming out.
They couldn't watch news in there. So when he was on our way home, he's like, "Look up the aliens." I was like, "What do you mean, look up the aliens?" He said, "They're coming. We heard about it. They're coming." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then I remembered. So I had to look up the news article and he read it on our way home. Yeah, he was worried about the aliens. It's like they're not coming.
It be
Man.
hysterical if they did come?
Yes. Like he knew y'all were coming. He'd be gonna be upset, so upset.
I miss them.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, at least you'll be able to tell them that you were there for them.
Yes, I know. I was there. You wouldn't believe it. Looking like us.
Yeah.
Walking among us.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
true.
He was
And
definitely one of a kind.
go on, I'm sorry.
He was definitely one of a kind.
That's
He
good.
could convince you, like, I know I have a purple shirt on. He would convince me that it was orange. Even though I know it's purple, he would somehow convince me that it was orange.
Well, he missed his calling. He should have been a salesman.
Right? I know. I think he tried to sell cars at one time. He kind of was a salesman, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I miss his voice.
Yeah. Do you have him on like a recording of any kind when he left you a message?
No. Usually when he left me messages, he was mad because I didn't answer. So they weren't good ones. And like when we was doing his service, trying to find pictures, recent pictures, we didn't have them. And that's what's so sad too. So always take pictures.
Yes.
Because sometimes that's all you have.
True.
Pictures, pictures, pictures. And always give hugs and say you love them because you don't know when that's the last time.
Regardless of what they may or may not be doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last
And
time I
never
seen him, I was
even?
at the rodeo. He's like, why are you going to a rodeo? I was like, you want to go? He's like, no, I don't want to go to no rodeo. And my mom seen the day that he passed at 2:45. She seen him and he was just fine. Bye, mom. I love you. Bye, mama. Love you. I'll see you tomorrow. And at 9:05 was his time of death. I put found on his death certificate. At 9:05.
That's just a very short period of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Very short.
So now we're in the process of trying to find out what happened from 2:45 until 9.
Yes, until 8:50 when the call came in. The ambulance was called at 8:50.
And do they have any leads? I mean, are they working on something? I don't
There
want
was
you to
three people.
tell us all of it. I just want to know if they're
Yeah, they
moving.
are.
Oh, good.
I'm assuming. I haven't talked to anybody. The reason I know that it's still open because I can't get the 911 call. So once I can get the 911 call, I know that it's closed. Because I've tried to get it, and the chief of police was like, Crystal, I told you you can't have it because it's open. And I just cried. That's what I wanted you to tell me. I wanted you to tell me I can't have it.
Right.
Because I want to know that it's still open.
And did they get his phone? Were they able to get his phone?
That's two of them. Their phone's missing and his wallet's missing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they could go to the telephone company and find out what calls
They
were
have
made.
them. Yeah, they have their phones. That night there was a warrant. That's what took so long. Like they made us leave because I had to bring my mom home. And I told the cop, I was like, will you call me when the medical examiner's here? Because I don't want my brother to leave the house alone. I want to be here when he leaves. So they called me and I got there before the warrant got there. So I chatted with the medical examiner and I said, like, when you bring him out, I want to see him. She's like, are you sure? I said, yes. I said, I want to see him. I want to tell my mom that I seen him and that we're okay. She's like, okay. So they went in and an hour later, the warrant came. They couldn't go in the house until the warrant came.
Okay.
I'm like, I give you permission to go in there and do what you need to. And they said, you can't, it's not your house. Even if it was your house, you weren't living here. So once the warrant got there, they were able to go in the house and then conduct an investigation. Then they brought him out. So I was able to see him and he had a necklace on and I was able to take the necklace off of him and I have the necklace. And of course me and Charlie had tried to work on him. Like he was just sleeping. He was holding his breath and he was sleeping. But they were really nice letting me see him. They didn't have to let me see him. But they did. And then they took the phones because they had a warrant for everything that was there.
Good.
Yeah. So they have that. So now it's
Hopefully they
just.
were able to get some back and forth text with whomever it
Yeah.
is was involved.
Yeah.
You know?
Hope so. see what happened. That's all I want to know is what happened. It'd be a lot easier, hard to accept, but easier to accept if he overdosed, help was called immediately, and we're sorry we couldn't bring him back.
Right.
But the fact knowing that that's not what happened. Yeah. And he knew about Narcan. And it's crazy. The day he died was on National Overdose Day. And my son had been at a doctor's appointment with his daughter, his WIC appointment. And they were handing out Narcan and fentanyl test strips. He's like, I'm going to bring this to Uncle Bubba. Yes, I'm going to bring this to Uncle Bubba. And that was on August 31st. He's like, I'm going to bring it to Uncle Bubba tomorrow. And then he never got to because he had passed away that night. And that was on August 31st. And we found out January 10th what he had in his system.
That took a long time for the toxicology to come back.
Yes.
I never understand why it's so long.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. They did a medical investigation, whatever. So it took so long. I called all the time. They're like, we're going to let you know. I was a squeaky wheel. Be a squeaky wheel. I am that squeaky wheel. I will call.
That's a good, I have to tell you, that's a very good feature to have as a person in a personality. Yes.
I'm a squeaky wheel. It's like when I called Hobart, it's like, oh, I have to transfer you. And I knew who she was transferring me to. And she said, I spoke to you before, Crystal. I was like, I know that. I just want to know if I can get the 911 call. He's like, I told you that I can't give it to you if there's an open investigation. And I just cried. That's what I wanted you to tell me. I wanted you to tell me that it's open.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's just sad for everybody involved.
Well, I'm believing for justice for you. And with your, you know, with your attitude and your stick-to-itiveness.
Yes. I'm a squeaky wheel.
Yep. I'm believing for you that you'll get justice. I really do.
I hope so.
Yes. It takes a long time, but you just can't give up. You just got to, you know what it is? It's like you just have to see it through to the end, regardless of what happens. Regardless if you can't get a conviction or you can't get the person arrested or whatever, at least you know that you've taken it to the max.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can live with yourself. It's like, I did everything I knew how to do. And this is where we got, you know.
Just tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that, some of them didn't even show up to a service. One did. One that was there showed up.
Okay.
Yeah. The two others did not. So, I don't know. I don't know. We just want answers.
Let's believe for good answers.
Yeah.
Really good answers. And please keep me updated.
Oh, I will.
I appreciate this. To know what happens.
This is huge. I'm so glad you reached back out to me. I'm honored.
Oh, thank you. That's kind.
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
You're my first sibling. I'm very proud.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
Like, there's not
for
many
being
of us.
Willing to come on.
Yeah. And I feel like we're forgotten, you know?
Yes.
We're too, and we're hurting too. It hurts.
Yeah.
And then I don't want my mom to see me grieve, so I hold it in. I don't want my kids to see me grieve, so I hold it in. So I usually, on my way to work and on my way home from work, I'll decompress.
Let go.
Yeah. Thursdays are rough because it happened on a Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually I used to drive down to his house and I'll sit in his driveway for a little bit. And I feel the closest to him there, maybe because that's the last time I've seen him alive.
Sure.
I mean, I have him here. He's closer to me here. I just feel closer to him there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Mom
wants to go over.
Do what works for you.
She wants to go start cleaning his house. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do with it. But I know how I feel, so I can only imagine how my mom feels.
Well, take your time, you know, don't rush as far as giving anything away of his.
Oh, no.
Let just sit, and the time will come when you feel it's right.
That's what I told her.
Yeah, don't rush.
Yeah.
You shouldn't give away anything. You shouldn't remove anything from the house or whatever, or sell the house, however you're going to do it, until all of this is done and you know one way or the other, and then you make decisions from there.
She's strong.
That's good.
She's a strong woman. I'm proud of her. I'm very proud of her. And my kids help too. My 8-year-old and her besties.
Oh,
That's
that's
where my daughter is
so
now. My daughter's with my mom now.
good. What's your daughter's name?
Emiliana.
Oh, how nice. So pretty.
Yes. She loves her meemaw.
Do you know the first time I ever heard of a grandma called Mima is like in Young Sheldon, you know, in
Oh,
the TV show. I never heard of that before, but I love it. I think it's a really nice name.
My 25-year-old called her meemaw, and she wanted to be a nana so bad. So my 21-year-old,
Oh.
like, yeah. So then I had a daughter. She's like, she's gonna call me Nana, and she's like, Nana, Nana, Nana. Oh my, that one calls her Mimi. So then when I had my 14-year-old, she's like, okay, I'm gonna be Nana. So we're like, Nana, Nana. Well, she had everybody call Meemaw, so she calls her Meemaw. Then when I had my last one, Nana, I'm Nana, I'm Na Meemaw. So she's Meemaw. Yeah. She wanted to be a Nana so bad. She's a Meemaw. She's a Meemaw and a Mimi.
We have a lot of nanas in our family. I had a grandma and I had a nana, and nana was my Italian grandmother.
I'm a Nani. My grandkids call me Nani.
Oh, okay. And they gave my mother now, because she has a great grandson, right? So they call her Gigi for great grandma.
That's cute.
That is cute, right?
Cute, yes.
I like that. At least it's different than a regular grandmother, right? So this way everybody has their own separate name.
Name.
Everybody knows who's who.
So, yeah. And my grandson calls my mom Meemaw. So she's just Meemaw.
That's all there is to it.
She's Meemaw. And she's a good Meemaw. We love her.
Crystal, it's been really wonderful speaking to you today.
Thank you. I did it.
You did a great job. I thank you so much for being with me today and
You're
sharing your
welcome. Thank
story
you.
about your brother, your precious brother. And even with all his flaws, there's no reason why he needed to go the way he did.
No.
Right?
No.
And I think a lot of people, you know, they still get stuck on the stigma and the shame that they don't realize this is a real sibling, a real brother, a real person that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And because of a tragic car accident, his entire life was changed.
Completely.
And it had nothing to do with him reaching out for any kind of substance. You know, if it wasn't for that car accident in your case, you know, in his
Exactly.
case. Yeah.
In his
And
case, yeah.
so we have to remember that, you know, there's a lot of people that came onto addiction as a result of something else.
Yes.
And they weren't supported properly by the medical profession, which is really horrible, you know.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you
I
so much for
wish.
giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. And we'll speak again soon. Keep me posted on the
I
case.
will. I
Okay.
will.
All right. God bless.
Thank you. God bless. Have a good night.
You
Bye.
too.